Thank you, guys. How's everybody doing? Everybody on this side, y'all okay over here? They know how to, they make noise. Look at that. There wasn't hardly anybody in there earlier, so. No, it's good to see all of you. We're glad that you're here. We're working through Sermon on the Mount. If you're just tuning in and you haven't been here with us in a while, or have just missed or whatever, and maybe you're visiting today, we're glad to have you if you are. We are teaching through this passage of Scripture, and we've been through chapter 5, which is the first chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, and have taken a great deal of time to go through that. And it's been awesome for me. I've had a lot of feedback from a lot of you and other people of how it is God's used it in your life. I'm grateful to hear about that kind of stuff. Just so you know, I really don't know what's going on in your lives a lot of times, and you think I might, and I'm reading your mail. I don't know, and that's just God's way of kind of doing His thing. So I praise God for that. Anyway, we're starting in chapter 6 today of Sermon on the Mount. If you got a Bible, go ahead and get it out. If you don't have a Bible, we've got ushers, and they will bring you a Bible. Let them bring you a Bible. Just throw your hand up and just keep it up there. They're going to walk the aisle. Let these guys give you a Bible here real quick. If you don't own one, by the way, you can keep that one. We'll give it to you as a gift. If you just need to borrow it, that's fine too. This morning, we're starting into chapter 6 of Matthew, of the book of Matthew, the second chapter of Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew 6 is where we're going today. And with this passage of Scripture, I'm reminded of one of the Beatitudes. I'm reminded, if you go back to the very beginning of Scripture and what we very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and what we see in the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount is we see Cody, it's good to have you with us, buddy. You thought you were gonna walk right in front of me? I wasn't gonna say a word, didn't you? Yes, I know you joining the no hair club. I see you over here in the front row. I got you, but no, it's sorry, I can't help myself. In Sermon on the Mount, in the very beginning of Matthew chapter 5, we see what's called the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are these things, I need to kind of go back and kind of lay the groundwork, just a little bit of it, if it's okay. Jesus comes, and He's teaching and helping some people to understand some things. In fact, a big chunk of chapter 5 of the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus coming and helping to debunk a whole bunch of stuff that they had talked themselves into believing. And basically had twisted the Word of God, so to speak, to make it say what they wanted to. Jesus spends a lot of time saying, hey, that's not the truth, this is the truth, that's not the truth, this is the truth, you know, kind of deal. Does a great job of that. And then you kind of come around the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, you see Jesus giving these eight different things, these Beatitudes, of things that could be understood to be, what does it look like to live a righteous life? Well, one of the very first ones of those is, blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, if you take blessed are the poor in spirit and just at face value, you'd think, oh, that's talking about poverty. That's talking about, you know, people that are poor and people struggling and God's with them kind of thing. No, that's not what it's talking about, actually. It's talking about spiritually poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And so spiritually speaking, you're like, well, you know, I don't know. Why is it good if I'm spiritually poor? That doesn't sound good. No, just give a second. That's talking about us getting to a place in our life and understanding that we have this desperate need for a Savior. This desperate need that we recognize we are not all that in a box of rocks like we think we are a lot of the time, and that we desperately need Jesus to save us. And you go, well, okay, I got that, I'm good, you know, Jesus saved me, so I'm good, I can move on. No, this is talking about a mentality and how we approach life and how we approach our relationship with the Lord, that we would recognize our genuine, desperate need for Him all the time, that we are poor without Him spiritually. And so it's a huge, huge, huge deal. Spiritually bankrupt without Christ, that's where He wants us, because He wants us to trust in Him. He wants us to rely on Him. And you say, well, that's awful, you know, egotistical of Jesus. Well, no, it's not. Because He loves us and He cares for us and He is our Savior. And if He really loves us and He really cares for us and He really is our Savior, then he wants us to know that because he wants to save us. He died for us. It's hard to call him egotistical when he gave his life, okay? He died for us, shed his blood on the cross, took the punishment for our sin that we deserved, that we might have life, even defeated death. So, blessed are the poor in spirit reminds me a lot of what we're talking about today. Because this is again, very much personal, heart issue kind of stuff, what we're talking about today. And I say this a lot, you know, but there's so much to our walk with the Lord that is it is right in line with it being a lot of times a heart issue for us. And there's no difference in that today. That's the same as it is for today. Matthew chapter 6. I just want to go ahead and read it. Let's read this together. Matthew 6, verse 1, it says this. It says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Let's go ahead. We'll go ahead and read the passage and we'll come back. "Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Now this passage of Scripture is Jesus giving a warning. I don't know if you see that or not, but right, I mean, the very first word of chapter 6, verse 1 is what? Beware. Beware. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. This is Jesus kind of coming at this, and he's saying, look, okay, we've got an issue here. I'm seeing something happen. This is what Jesus does a whole lot, especially in Sermon on the Mount. He comes, he addresses something he sees going on, and he says, I want to warn you about what you're doing. I want to warn you about it. This is a huge deal. I mean, this is a really, really huge deal. That Jesus would come and that he would warn, and that specifically he would say some of the things that he's about to say. You'll have to bear with me today. In asking and saying that there will be no reward from their Father in heaven, you know, what he's saying to us is very important. He's saying that our righteousness being practiced in front of other people is the wrong thing to do. What does that mean? What's that mean? Well, this is where it becomes a hard issue. He's talking about our motives, you know? What's your motive in doing things? Let's say specifically, he's talking about giving to the needy, which, by the way, we will be doing food truck at Gateway Assembly of God over by Walmart in Ashland City this coming Saturday morning. This is their first time to host it, and we told them that we are going to come and help them see what it looks like to do this and be helping hands. We will have it, 24 will have it in December, by the way, too. So opportunities to actually live some of this out that we're actually talking about this morning coming up. But specifically, Jesus says, you know, don't practice this stuff in front of other men. Don't practice your righteousness before other people in order, what? To be seen by them. Okay? So we've got this passage, and then we've also got another passage. If you go back to Matthew chapter 5, and in Matthew chapter 5, and you're like, man, I thought we got done with Matthew chapter 5. Just hang on with me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, we have this verse. Check this out. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says this. It says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven." Okay, so we've got Jesus in chapter 6 saying, don't practice your junk before other men. But then we also have him in chapter 5 saying, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works. So how do these two things coexist? Is Jesus like losing his mind? What's going on? Not at all. Not at all. In fact, he's talking about the same thing in both places. Two different ways of talking about it, but he's talking about the same thing. If you look at 5:16 right there, it gives intent right here, motive, and what's it say? And give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So here's the question. When you serve others, which is like the thing that Jesus has basically like commanded us to do, like love others, disciple them, you know, teach them all the things he, you know, command all this stuff. I mean, this is what Jesus has given us to do in his absence. He went to be with the Father. He's like, here's what you're going to do while I'm gone. You're going to serve people. If you didn't know like what to do with yourself sometimes, that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's a part of it. But our motive has to be right. And this is what Jesus is warning people against. He's saying, look, your motive is wrong if you're doing it. Why? So that they may see you do it. What's he say? So that you may be seen by them. So in verse 5:16, when he says, let your light shine before others, it's not contradicting what he says in chapter 6, because he says, so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. So there is motive with 5:16 that we see that when we are serving others, it is supposed to be for the glory of God. You're like, what's that even mean? It means this. It means this, that others would see Jesus in us. That we're pointing to him. We're not doing it for us. We're not doing it for, we're not even doing it for us to feel good about ourselves. You know, we're not supposed to serve. I don't know if you know this or not. Serving others is not about us feeling good about ourselves. It's absolutely not what it's about. It is about glorifying God. It is about making him known. This is God's design. It's not my design. I didn't come up with it. I didn't make it. It's his design. And he designed us that we might serve him, that others might see him. That is glorifying him. Now, what's our temptation? Our temptation is this. Our temptation is what's in chapter 6. Our temptation is that we would practice our righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Right? Right? I mean, we like to be seen sometimes. I mean, introverted people are like, I don't want to be seen by nobody. You go away, you know. I will hold up in my house, leave me alone. But at the end of the day, we all have this little complex that we struggle with on some level. Some people worse than others, whatever it is. You know what it is? The fear of man. You go, well, I'm not afraid of nobody. No, chill out. Hang on. I'm talking about us being concerned about what other people think about us. And you may go, well, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. Be one of those people. You know, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. You do on some level. So don't lie, okay? You're at church, right? No, just kidding. You know, I think for us to recognize this is a motive issue. This is a heart issue. And Jesus is warning us. He's saying, beware. Beware of doing this before other people. And he says, and if you do, then you will have what? No reward. No reward from your Father who is in heaven. That's a big deal. You know what that means? That means that we could go through life. This is gonna break some people right here. And it has had me asking lots of questions personally about ministry, life, whatever. Okay? It means that we could go through life serving Jesus and never receive a reward when we get to heaven. Like, Chris, how's that possible? Because if our motive is doing those things to please people, to make people happy, to get the hand clap, to get the pat on the back. And I'm not saying we don't need encouragement from time to time. We need that kind of stuff. We know that. But I'm saying if our motive in serving God is based on doing the right thing and making other people happy, or we want them to think better of us, we have missed the boat. We have completely missed the boat. Completely missed the boat. No reward. No reward. No reward. He talks about it a little more here in a minute. Verse 2, it says this. It says, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. There's the reward part again. Verse 2 starts out, thus when you give, and I like how Jesus says this, and you can't argue and you can't go, well, it's just Paul, or it's just, no, this is Jesus. I mean, this is what he says. He says, when you give. He doesn't say if you give. He doesn't say like, when you feel like, he's like, when you give, period. You're going to give. I've created you to give. I have created you for my glory. I am Jesus. I have spoken. You are supposed to give. Okay? He says all that just by saying when you give. That's what I'm saying. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. This was something that kind of actually happened. This is something you would see, and you can take it literal or not to whether Jesus was meaning this specific thing, but I think Jesus was blanket statementing, you know, kind of what's going on here. And what was going on at that time was, you know, typically, you know, there'd be times a day or times in the week where it would be time to go and give an offering at the temple. And when that time would happen during the week or whatever, they would ring bells and chimes, and you know, sometimes they'd blow horns and all kinds of stuff. Well, what this allowed to happen was this allowed for people to kind of parade their giving, if you will. Like literally their giving of money kind of thing, their giving of offerings and tithes and those kinds of things. And so what they would do is the bells would sound or the horns would sound or, you know, whatever, and they would go. And even on top of that, back then they would have a lot of times, they would have, I'm imagining, for some reason, I want to imagine like big, huge spittoons for some reason. But they would have like, you know, the things that they would put their offering in would be these big metal containers. And so oftentimes people would purposely like throw their money into these things. So they would like clank around and it'd be like, bam, that's right. That's right. Everybody knows I just gave. Look at me. I am the deal, right? I am following Jesus. Well, Jesus is like, look, quit doing this stuff to be seen. Quit doing this stuff that you would do it to be seen by them. If you do, there will not be a reward. So he says, so when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet. Don't do that. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Do you know what he's talking about when he says hypocrites? We love this word hypocrites, I know. This is like the most haunting word as a Christian, the word hypocrite. Because the truth is at some point along the way, we are all hypocrites. You go, I'm no hypocrite, Chris, don't tell me I am. I'm telling you somewhere along the way, we have failed somebody else at what Jesus has called us to do, and that makes us a hypocrite, okay? So just get over it. We're sinners. We're saved by grace. Thank God for it, all right? So, when Jesus is saying hypocrites here, he's talking about a Greek word that is specifically talking about being, get this, you're going to love it, actors. Think about it for just a second. Sound no trumpet before you as the actors do in the synagogues and in the streets. Boy, that'll cut you right there. That'll cut you. You're like, I don't get it. All right, let me put it another way. Fake people. As the fake people do. Let me ask you a question. Who in here really enjoys being around fake people? That's what I thought. You know, I mean, none of us enjoy being around fake people. Do you realize that when we say that we follow Christ, but we do something other than what he would command us to do, that he would lead us to do, when we live outside of his will as a hypocrite, then we are seen as fake people. We are seen as actors. Let me ask you a question. You know some fake people in your life? I know you do. Just don't shout them out. Please don't do that, okay? But you know some fake people in your life. Think about one or two of them right now. Not in a bad way. Not trying to be judgmental here. Just you recognize they've got an issue with it. Okay, that's all I'm asking you to do. Okay, don't go 10,000 miles down the road of like, oh man, that's a terrible person. No, you're a terrible person too. We're all sinners. We need Jesus. Okay, so for us to recognize fake people, we know fake people. The thing is that we know the fake people, right? We know that when people are fake with us. We know when people don't genuinely care with us, don't we? We know, even if somebody tells us, man, I'm here for you, let me know. We know if they're being real or not. We know. You know what that's called? Bad acting. What's Jesus talking about? The hypocrites, the actors. He doesn't say like the Christians that got it wrong. He says hypocrites. He says like the actors do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. He's calling them out. And he's saying, don't be like these people who are following God for the sake of the applause. So the question is this. What's your motive behind serving? And you can't, here's the deal. We can't generalize that question to everything that we're doing when it comes to serving God. Because generally speaking, in our hearts, if we know the Lord and hearing the truth of this especially, we go, oh man, when I serve the Lord, I really want to serve the Lord. Now I'm talking about like when your neighbor needs you to help them and you're thinking about the other 15 things that you need to do, and you're like, man, I really don't have time to help them. I really don't have time to deal with that. We got too much going on. That's crazy talk. We can't do that. Or then you do it, but you know, like the whole time you're doing it, you're like, oh, just get this over with. You know, I got stuff to do. You know, I mean, that's what we do. Why did we do it? Why did we do it? Well, I don't think it was to glorify God if the whole time we're like complaining in our minds and in our hearts. What we've done is we've done something because we want people to think good things about us. Jesus says, quit being actors. Be the real thing. Be the real thing. Here's the truth. And when we really let God use us for His glory, when we really let Him work through us, He does amazing things. And we get to be a part of it. Isn't that amazing? It amazes me that God has chosen us, and at least I'll speak for myself. I mean, I'm an idiot, okay? And the fact that God would choose me to do anything, get to be a part of any, He doesn't need me, you know? He could do whatever He wants to do without me, but yet He chooses to let me be a part of ministry for His kingdom. That's the same way with all of us. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing that we get to be a part of that. It's a blessing that we get to experience God working and moving. So he says, truly I say to you, back to verse 2, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. They have received their reward. What reward? What have they received? Because just a minute ago he said, I thought he said that there's no reward for these people that are faking it. You know? I thought he said that the people that fake it till they make it are never getting a reward. Oh, no, no. They got a reward. They've already got it, is what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. What's their reward? Good job. Or the hope that the thought of that neighbor thinks that they're a good person because they helped them. You see, the motive is wrong. And that's what Jesus is going after. He's going after the motive, and he's saying, hey, you know, whatever you got out of it, that's the reward. That's all you're going to get because you are not getting a reward from the Heavenly Father. Man, that's a big, huge, honking statement that Jesus is making. But here's the thing. Jesus isn't trying to, like, kick us while we're down, okay? So you got to see this for what it is. Jesus starts the whole thing with saying, beware. He's like, I'm warning you. Hello, red flag. Your motives being wrong are going to equal, when you come to eternity, no reward. Beware, I'm warning you. And you go, well, it seems like Jesus kind of beat me up a little bit on this thing. No, I don't think he is. I think he just loves us. And he's telling us the truth. And you go, well, Chris, how do you know? I know because he gave his life for us. He took death on our behalf. He took the punishment for our sin that we might have salvation. Verse 3 says this. It says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So this is kind of like that example back in chapter 5. Remember the slapping deal? Remember, I talked about that back in chapter 5, and it talked about, you know, with your left hand, your right hand. Well, what it was talking about was, you know, if you slap somebody, if somebody slaps you, the turn the other cheek deal, you know, they slap you kind of deal. It was talking about, you know, doing that with the left hand. It's very specific. And Jesus is being very specific, and it does mean something. And what it means here in this particular case is that normally speaking, people are right-handed. Normal people are right-handed, okay? I'm married. I am married to a left-hander. I'm telling you, normal people are right-handed, okay? And hey, and listen, she keeps hoping one of these kids is going to be right-handed. No dice. Not happening. These kids have all come out right-handed because they are normal kids, right? Sorry, I have fun with the living people. And so, but no, it's talking specifically because of normally speaking, larger population being right-handed, that you would normally, if you were going to give something, you would do it with your right hand. And so Jesus is making this statement, and he's you know, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek deal, because he's saying, look, do it in such a way that it's so secretive that your left hand doesn't even know what's going on. You know, it's like right hand did it, and left hand's like, oh, what happened? You know, you see what he's doing there. And he goes on in verse 4, and he says this in verse 4. He says, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So be careful with this verse, because if you're not careful, you'll look at this and go, well, I'm supposed to serve everybody only in secret. A little power thing going on there. That was fun. So we had, you know, but here's the deal. It's not all in secret. You go, well, Chris, how do we know? We know because of Matthew 5:16. What did it say? Let your light shine before men, that they might see your good works. This is part of God's design. So we know that it's not all completely in secret, but the motive is what Jesus is going after here. He's going after our motive, and he's saying, hey, if your motive is wrong, beware, warning, don't fall into this. There will be no reward for you. You are missing the boat. Here's the truth. We have all done this at some point in time. We may not meant to. I watch people begin to serve the Lord in different ways. And over time, as they continue to serve the Lord, you know, life gets harder. Serving sometimes gets harder. And I'm not just talking about, I know we're real quick to go to like Sunday morning serving the Lord, and that's definitely a part of it. But I'm talking about life in general, serving the people that God has placed in our lives, the people that we work with, our neighbors, everybody that God has placed in front of us. But it's real easy for in these situations for, once we've been doing that for a little while, without realizing it, we start kind of going through the motions. And it stops being about Jesus, doesn't it? It stops being about our love for the Lord. And it starts being about, well, it's an obligation. Let me encourage you to do something. Ask God to examine your heart. Ask God to examine your heart and say, God, help me to see, are my motives pure? Am I really serving you? Now, here's going to be your temptation, though. If you come to the word no to answer that question, and you go, you know what? I've been serving, doing this or that, you know, trying to serve some people I work with or this family over here I've been trying to serve. And to be honest with you, at this point, I'm not doing it for the right reason. I'm doing it because I want people to either see me, or I want them to think I'm a good person, or I've already obligated myself to this thing, or whatever it is. Let me just encourage you. When you get to the answer no and realize that your motive might be in the wrong place, here's what I'm going to encourage you to not do. Please don't quit. Please don't quit serving the Lord just because you've realized that your motive's in the right place. You don't have to quit serving the Lord because your motive's in the right place. You need to change your motive. Okay? And here's the truth of it. We need to let Jesus change our motive. This is a personal issue between us and the Lord. And this is seen all the time because we see problems come when we have a public practice without a private devotion. Let's say that again. We see problems come when we have a public practice without a private devotion. So we start out trying to do the right thing. And maybe at that point in our life, man, we're close to the Lord. And we were seeking Him. He's changing our hearts and our lives. And He's leading us. We're spending time with Him. His Word is just owning us. And our prayer life's good, whatever it is. And then we've been serving. And then that starts to wane. And our motive starts to change for why we do what we're doing. It becomes becomes another responsibility. It's almost like, oh, we do that like we go pick up kids from school or something, you know? Just another thing on the list. Let me help you to see something. This is really big, and I don't know that how I'm going to say it is really even going to do justice to how big it is. But our service to Christ is probably the biggest responsibility we've got while we're here on this planet. Jesus spends His whole ministry trying to help us to see that our calling is to glorify Him. And then we spend so much of our time flailing around going, well, I don't know how to glorify God. You know, I don't know what He wants me to do. I'll tell you what He wants you to do. He says it over and over and over again, even after He comes back from the dead. What's He spend the whole time saying? Serve others. Feed the sheep. Make disciples. Teach them in the way they should go. All these things. He's saying, love and serve others. And trying to be good people. A lot of times, we hear that and we just go, I'm going to start serving people. I'm really going to get after that. That starts in a good spot. But let me just tell you something. If it doesn't start from being your relationship with the Lord and your love for Him, if your service to others isn't founded in your love for Christ and who He is and what He's done for us, you're going to go serve with the wrong motives. You may think that you're serving for the right motives, but at the end of the day, you're gonna end up grounded again on the beach and going, man, I'm here I am back here again with the wrong motives. I was doing this for me, you know, kind of deal. Didn't realize I was doing it for me, but I guess I was. Problems come when we have a public practice without a private devotion. We need to cultivate our relationship with the Lord. We got to do it. And here's the conversation that I have with everybody. And I know everybody's here because I have it over and over. I've had it three times this morning at least. How you doing? Man, just what? Busy. There you go. Sorry. Fine and then busy. Usually it's like the second question goes to busy, I guess. You know, so how you doing? Oh, yeah, we're good. Just busy. Man, we got so much going on. I've got so much going on. I'm talking about me personally right now. This week has been insane. This whole week has been insane. I have no idea why. I feel like maybe next week's going to slow down. What never does, right? And folks that are much older and wiser than me, they tell me that it never will, right? You know, it's just going to keep going and keep going. And so here's what we do. We're so busy that we're too busy to spend time cultivating the most important thing that we have in our lives, which is our relationship with Jesus. And it is affecting our motives. So then we just try to do the right thing for people. And at the end of the day, Jesus is here and He's going, hey, I'm throwing up the flags for you right here and just saying, hey, caution, you need to stop. And you need to check out what life is about because I've got a purpose for you. I've got a mission. And my mission includes my church, and you're a part of my church, and I want you to be a part of it. Get off your mission. Put some of your missions down. Throw some of your missions in the freaking trash, because I've got this amazing, amazing mission I want you to be a part of. And we miss it because, well, I'm just busy. Just busy. We all do it. I'm preaching to me right now. I get real passionate when I preach to me. I hope you know that. problems come when we have a public practice without a private devotion. And without seeing it, we trade the goal of pleasing God to pleasing man. You know what people should see in us? They should see Jesus. They should see the cross. Now, this is hard for us as men. Men, because we really, like, God built in this, like, need for respect with us. And part of that is to help make us work hard and take care of families and some of that kind of stuff. Step up and do all that. But here's the truth. If we're not careful, we will let that override who God wants us to be in Him. Okay? So we've got to pay real close attention to that. Jesus has called us to more than that. He's called us to glorify Him. It's not just about what people think about us. And that's that respect issue for guys especially. But, I mean, truth is, ladies, I've yet to meet a woman that isn't concerned with how somebody else thinks something about them. I mean, that's just, I mean, and the truth is all of humanity is this way, okay? But for us, we've got to recognize that the most important thing that people could ever know or see in us is Jesus Himself, is the cross. You go, Chris, I don't have much of a story to tell. Here's the story. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Jesus died on a cross and He saved us and He changed our lives. That's your story. It doesn't matter if you ran with a biker gang for 10 years, okay? All right? What matters is that they might know that we've been changed by the blood that was shed on the cross. And so when they see us, they see something different. And that something different leads them to asking questions. Why are you different? And it always leads back to the cross. And man, that's so simple, isn't it? And it's so simple, but like, man, we miss it over and over and over again. Let me give us something to boast in. You know, because we love to boast. And that's where a lot of this starts for us, is like, because we want people to think good things about us, we get to boasting about stuff, right? I'm sure nobody in here has ever boasted about the fish that they caught, right? Not in Cheatham County. Or the deer that they shot. Or heck, the deer that they ran over with their truck, okay? Let's just face it. I saw at least one person this week boasting in the buck that they killed with a pickup truck. You know, and they're like, hey, look what I got, you know? I was like, well, go get them. Sorry for the truck. And the deer, I guess, whatever. But, you know, I think for us, you know, as we boast, you know, we're so guilty and so prone to boast in things. You know, people, you know, because we're good at stuff. You know, I told First Service, you know, my wife can make the most amazing chocolate chip cookies on the planet. I mean, they are second to none. There are people in our church that if she makes a batch of cookies and she brings them to a member meet and eat or to a fellowship or whatever it is, there, I have seen women in our church sin against the Lord and steal the whole thing of cookies and get behind that counter and not share them with a soul. I'm calling out sin today, all right? And I have done that to my kids with those same cookies, so I can't say much. So it's kind of like the Halloween candy, right? But, you know, here's the deal. We have something to boast in, and it's not fish and cookies and all that stuff. Galatians 6:14 sets it straight. Thank you, Paul, for this. Here we go. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You want to boast in something? Let's boast in the cross. Let's boast in who Jesus is. Let's boast in what Jesus has done. That's hard. That's hard because we might actually be decently good at doing stuff, and we like to boast, you know? But the truth is that Jesus is saying, hey, chill out. Let your motives be for me and my kingdom. Let me tell you something. You won't get there on your own. You won't get there on your own. You will not get to those motives on your own. As hard as you may try, you will not get to those motives on your own. You're like, Chris, well, how in the world do I get them? You get them by having a relationship, a real relationship with Jesus. Spend time with the Lord. Had crazy days, said this last week, week before, I can't remember. Had some crazy days lately, but I've managed to, in the middle of some of those crazy days, not every single one of them, but in the middle of some of those crazy days, taking time out to just spend some time with the Lord. Read a chapter or two of His Word, and it is amazing to me that in 30 minutes, God can completely change my life. Gives me peace. Don't you want peace? I mean, we look for peace everywhere but the right place most of the time, don't we? I mean, we're like, well, if I could just do this and I could just do that, or if I could just get this and we could just make that happen, then everything would just be fine. No, it would not. No, it would not. We have that peace, and it comes in Jesus. And I'll give it to you in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Romans 8, 5 says this. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. Sound familiar? But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. What's your motive in this life? Is it to please yourself? Is it to please other people? Is it so they might think better about you? Did we forget that people see through the fake? Did we forget that we see through the fake? Why do we think that we are better actors than anybody else? Nicolas Cage isn't that great of an actor. And yet, we probably aren't going to do any better than he does. And I love Nick Cage. Don't get me wrong. I think for us to recognize we're fooling ourselves. We're not fooling anybody else. We've traded in pleasing others, pleasing God for pleasing others. And the truth is we're not pleasing anybody. And our life isn't about that. It's about us making ourselves available and God working through us for His glory. So what's your motive? Is your motive in the right place? You may go, Chris, my motive is not in the right place, and right now I just feel like this tall. I'm not interested in you feeling this tall. You know why? Here's why. Because Jesus died on the cross that you can be free from sin. Even wrong motives. And He died on the cross that we're not married to those sins any longer. And in fact, He died on the cross that we get freedom from those sins, that we've been set free, and so we don't have to worry about the motive anymore. We can look at that and go, you know what? I'm free from it. My motive can be in the right place. God can use me for His kingdom. God has a mission. He wants us to be a part of it. Do we not think that it's better than ours? I know it is. And on the few days in my life when I feel like I've had my head screwed on straight and been trying to follow Him and feel like I did, I look back and those have been the best days of my life. Because I was on His mission and not Chris's mission, and His mission is always amazing. Is it hard sometimes? Yeah. It is hard sometimes. But you know what? Life's hard. I have yet to find one of those easy buttons that actually works. If you find it, let me know. I will trade you something for it, okay? In the gospel, we are forgiven and set free from sin and things like worrying about what others think of us. We just need to simply, here you go, we just need to simply follow Jesus. So simple, isn't it? That's so simple. We make it so hard. Spend some time with the Lord. Let Him convict your heart. Let Him change your motives. Let him use you for his glory in your neighbor's life, your co-worker's life, as a part of the body of believers of a church. Whether it's this church or another church, wherever God's leading you to be a part of that church. Let God change your motives. If you're here today and you have never trusted Christ to be your Savior, I want to tell you something. He loves you. God loves you. He sent His Son, Jesus, to die for you, that you could experience forgiveness, be forgiven of everything that's ever happened, and find freedom in this life from sin, that we might live for His glory and that others might know Him because they know us. That is the purpose of our life. A lot of people looking for the answer to that question. And it's so simple. It's right in front of us. Let's follow Him. Let's bring Him glory. Let's let Him change our motives. Let's pray together.